Welcome to another episode of Getting Naked with Nate. I am your host, Nate Maingard. It has been a while since I posted. I am aware of this, but I'm back on it. Basically, what I have just begun, I'm on day three of a 100-day challenge. And the challenge is to aim for one specific goal and then to work towards that using various tools over 100 days. If you want to see my daily journal and everything like that, it is available to my patrons on Patreon, which is scary as heck. I wasn't going to share that part of it with anyone other than my accountability mentor or partner. But then I thought, you know, my patrons are like the coolest people in the world. They are the reason that I can do what I do full time, can explore, can make podcasts, make music, can learn and grow and heal and all these things. So yeah, I'm offering it, and it's cool. I've really enjoyed keeping the journal so far. It's ended up being much deeper than I kind of expected. I thought it would be quite utilitarian. Like, yes, today I did this task and it was great. Instead, I'm getting all philosophical and exploring alternate aspects of my shadow and light. And you know me, I like to do the word thing. Anyway, so I'm back. The podcast has been kind of stagnating for a while, but the 100-day challenge is my absolute commitment to getting it going and making it something worthwhile. So if you love it, please do check out the show notes and subscribe on your favorite. You could get it on iTunes. You could get it all over the place. Pocket Casts, all those things. And please do give it a listen, give it a shout out, tell me what you think. If you can leave a review and that would be amazing. Reviews have a really big impact on how well the podcast will get seen by other people on iTunes and places like that. So if you can take the time, that'd be so epic. Yay. So basically the 100-day challenge, the focus is to record and release 14 episodes of my podcast in 100 days, which is one a week. So I'm on day three now, and I've been working just on building like the kind of structure of how things are going to go. So putting together documents and outlines and folders and like, okay, just getting a sense of how it's all going to be managed, deciding on the first five episodes. So basically what I'm focusing on is that each episode will be based around a song, because I have all these songs and each song is a distinct perception or belief or ideal or feeling that I've had or experience that I've been through, and I feel like I can, if I use the song as the sort of leaping off point, then it's something that I can dive into the rest of whatever it is that I want to talk about through that. And yeah, so in this show I talk about a whole bunch of really sensitive, really personal, really special things to me, things that have a lot of meaning to me, things that I believe in, and I'm very excited to have your thoughts. Some of the things I go into in this episode, one of the things is the song which inspired me to finally start learning how to sing falsetto, which is the high voice I do throughout most of the song Lovers in the Morning Light. It's one of the most special kind of moments that I've had as an artist is learning how to do that. And you can also hear, I will share a link in the show notes to my song Home, which is the first song I really tried to like push myself to sing more falsetto in. And you can hear kind of how much falsetto I did there, and then you can compare that to Lovers in the Morning Light. So again, check the show notes, natemaingard.com/podcast. It's the best way to do that. And I always link to the show notes as well in the podcast description, which you can see in whatever podcast player you're using. One of the big things I go into in this episode is talking about sex and sexuality, how I learned to have sex on my own terms, basically my journey to healthy sexuality. And one of the big things I cover is why I didn't have sex for 3 years. And this was from the age of around 25 or 26, which is kind of a crazy time for a person or a dude, a woman, I guess. I don't know about a woman, I know about myself, for anyone to choose not to have sex when you're in that like period of your life. But anyway, so I go into that as well. Just know that this episode has very honest, open talks about sex and sex acts. And if that makes you uncomfortable, maybe don't listen to it. But I do think that it's really important that we open up the conversation about sex and sexuality and we normalize it. It is a normal thing. It is normal to be a sexual human being. Everyone, enough people in the world came into the world from two people making love that we can say that everyone, we can generalize in that sense. I've said that before, everyone came into it, and people are like, oh, well, not everyone because of artificial insemination. I'm like, the percentage of people who came into the world that way is small enough that I think we could just say everyone came into the world from people making love. So let's talk about it. Let's get it out there. Let's get, love making is a beautiful thing, but we need to talk about it. So one of the things I would really love from you is if you can ask questions, if stuff comes up during this show, please please ask me questions that I can then answer in the upcoming shows. I'd love to hear from you. You can comment on directly on the show notes on my website, namemango.com/podcast. That's probably the easiest way. You can also go, I'll also link in the show notes to my Anchor profile, which is pretty rad. You have to install the app, but you can basically leave me voice messages, and I can include the voice messages, the questions that you leave as a voice message in future episodes, which I think is super cool. So I'm very excited to do that. But that's it. We're going to listen to the song Lovers in the Morning Light now so that you kind of know where we're at and what it is that's inspiring this conversation. I also go, I'll break down all the lyrics for you. It's like I go really deep into some of the very, very precious aspects of the song, stuff that I haven't ever told anyone. So yeah, here we go. This is a new exploration for me. I would really love to have your feedback, and I look so forward to hearing from you. And if you really enjoy it, then please do a pledge on Patreon. That's also going to be in the show notes. That is the simplest and best way that you can support my art and my creations and my podcast and everything going forwards. That's it. Enjoy. Love is in the morning light, and I will see you on the other side. You're amazing. Thanks for being here. Lovers in the Morning Light. It is definitely one of my favorite songs that I've written for, well, so many reasons. I start with the sort of on the technical front. I think it's one of the most challenging that I've written from the perspective of vocals and how challenging it is to sing, because it's using a lot of high voice, a lot of falsetto, which is something I didn't used to be able to do at all. I actually tell this story sometimes before I sing the song at shows, that I didn't think that I could do falsetto. I thought it was the kind of thing you either could or you couldn't do it. And I just thought like it wasn't something that I got to do. So it was listening to Bon Iver's album For Emma Forever Ago, which really shifted my perception around that. And kind of, well, basically what happened was like that was just one of my favorite albums of all time. And I was listening to it and I was so inspired by his falsetto and so inspired by him as an artist and the songs, just the whole thing. And so I went and started listening to all his older music, trying to find like, is there more stuff that's this good from him that I just hadn't heard of yet? And I found that his name was Justin Vernon. And I went and checked out his old, like before he was Bon Iver, and he was doing mainly sort of normal voice, like singing, not falsetto. He was doing some falsetto, and the falsetto he was doing wasn't great. It was okay, but it wasn't great. And when I heard that, I thought, shit, maybe the difference between someone who can do falsetto and someone who can't do falsetto is really just like practice and time. And so I started singing more falsetto. I just started like any time, any song that was on that was high, or there was falsetto, I would just sing along in falsetto, and it sounded terrible. I really was not good at it. And quite soon after that, I would start adding falsetto into my own songs. I remember, I think the first song I tried anything like that with was Puzzle Pieces, which I haven't actually played in ages. But there was one little piece of that where I went into falsetto, and then yeah, just like gradually. I remember, I think Home was one of the first ones where I really like pushed that more, because I used quite a bit of, well, more falsetto in Home. And when I first wrote that song, I actually remember, hey, Johnny. I got the dogs moving around. Hey, little buddy. I remember with Home, when I first sang it for one of my friends, he was like, dude, it sounds like you're really pushing to get that falsetto. It sounds like, doesn't sound like smooth and comfortable. It sounds intense and pushed, and he was right. But I kept doing it. I just kept doing it and kept doing it, and it got smoother and smoother. And so Lovers in the Morning Light was really just like, for me, an arrival at a place that I didn't ever think I could get to. And so on that front, I'm really proud of it. And it's also, it feels like falsetto is suitable for that song, because it's moving between this like very, the kind of sort of masculine bass and then some feminine aspects of myself as well. And I feel like they're represented well within the song. If you can hear tweeting and chirping and stuff in the background, there's some very noisy weaver birds outside all having a lot of conversations. So I do apologize about that. I'm on a farm. It's nature everywhere. It's just how it is. I don't have a sound isolated room yet. Anyway, so Lovers in the Morning Light. For me, Lovers in the Morning Light is well, it's really about this idea of intimacy and of compassion and of vulnerability within relating, within lovemaking. So I come from, you know, in my early teens, my introduction to sex and sexuality was through pornography and my friends, which is crazy because I actually had a very switched on couple of parents. And my dad, when I was about 13, he actually gave me a book on spiritual sexuality that had all the stuff in about lovemaking and ejaculatory retention for men and all these different incredible tools, how to pleasure a woman, how to pleasure a man, how to be multi-orgasmic, like all this incredible stuff. But it was actually too late. I had already been indoctrinated by my culture, which was, the culture is, it's actually very sexually repressed. It still is. But also overly sexualized. at the same time, which is this strange paradox, but it's true. It's like if you look out, every image you see in advertising, music videos, movies, there's just so much sexualization of women specifically and of relationships. And if you see people having sex or like sex scenes in Hollywood movies, they go from kissing straight to lovemaking and it's always like, and then it flashes to the morning and they're both really satisfied. They're lying. They're like, yeah, that was the best thing ever. But we don't get shown or told the real experience of people making love. Like, what does that really contain and entail? And in sex ed, at least in South Africa, and I know definitely in America as well. Well, in South Africa, it wasn't as much prohibitive. It was definitely prohibitive, but they just tried to scare the crap out of us. They were just like, told us about all the diseases and pregnancy and all the terrible, scary things that sex entails. But they didn't really, there was no like practical how-tos or any of that kind of stuff. So the way we got it was porn, basically. And the early days of porn as well, the internet was still dial-up internet, which I had some stories about racking up bills on my mom's phone bill because I was trying to download porn, basically. I don't think I've ever told her that's why it was so expensive with us. Early days of downloading porn. Anyway, so that was my introduction. And then when I started actually fumbling around and connecting with people and trying to work out what it meant to be a sexual being, it was just awkward. It was so awkward. And I felt so guilty. And I had this idea already ingrained in me of what I was supposed to do as a man. I was supposed to be this performance master. I was supposed to like give her all these orgasms and I was meant to know exactly what I was doing. The reality was so different to that. The reality was like ejaculating really quickly, especially obviously the first few times having sex, and then developing a kind of a worry about it, and so then it would happen more, and like all these, and not feeling comfortable to just talk and just say, hey, how does that feel for you? What would you like me to do? What don't you like? What I'm very sensitive. Is it okay if we go more slowly? Or none of those things. And what was really crazy about it is that. And I suppose this is also tied up with what was going on in my family life, where my parents went through a horrific divorce. It started when I was 10, and it was basically it feels like it was a constant battle until I was about 18, when it all kind of finally wound down. But part of that was a complete breaking down of my relationship with my mother for a number of reasons. But what happened was that I was so heartbroken by that and then by my first girlfriend's, the breaking up of that I just kind of went, I don't ever want to feel this terrible again, and I'm never going to get my emotions involved. And so then I became a player, which is hilarious because it's like the furthest thing from what I would ever want to be or choose to be in my life. And so maybe hilarious isn't the right word. It's sad. It's sad that I ended up being something that I just didn't think was a part of my makeup. But it was, you know, it was a few years later when I was like 16 or 17, I was one of my friends. I remember specifically one of my best friends, Terry, she jokingly saying, oh, I'm such a player. And I was like, what do you mean? I'm not a player. And she's like, dude, you are such a player. Like that's your vibe. I was like, whoa, major self-reflection moment. Through these years of this like fumbling and gradually working out what felt good and what didn't, but still feeling really awkward and using sex as a way to make myself feel cool about myself, because obviously if I could hook up with lots of women, then I'd be a cool man and everyone would like me. But I was really trying to cover up this insecurities. So there's all this stuff going on and I'm just trying to work out how to get my shit together. And so eventually it was my sort of mid-20s where I really started questioning, like where things were just falling apart for me. I was struggling a lot with depression and with just a very bad self-image. And I had been trying to toe the line of like the normal societal way that a man was supposed to be, but it wasn't working for me. I was very uncomfortable. And so I started a journey of self-questioning. And what that involved was some celibacy because things were just not working for me in the sexual department. I wasn't enjoying it. I was hurting myself. I was hurting the people I was connecting with. There was emotional chaos. It just wasn't happening. And so I was like, right, that's it. I'm done. And I was 6 months. This is 2010 now. For 6 months at the age of, I think, 26 or 25, I can't remember, I went fully celibate. So like no kissing, nothing that was sexual. I could cuddle, but that was my boundary. It was like, and I had, obviously there were opportunities where things would come up, but I felt so clear about that. And that was good for me. It was good to take my power back sexually, to be like, yes, I'm a sexually active adult and I'm choosing not to involve myself in that for the time being, for as long as I need. That was a thing I'd never given myself. I rushed into it. I thought, oh, I've got to get this done as quickly as possible, lose my virginity, do all those things. And that rushing caused me pain, and it caused the people I met pain, some of which I still feel terrible guilt about in terms of the emotional chaos that I put some of the wonderful women I connected with, some of the emotional trauma that I caused them through my own ignorance and my own pain. But anyway, so I did the 6 months full celibate. And then when I re-entered sexuality or sensual connection with people, I did it on my own terms. And so what that meant for me was that I could explore foreplay, but no penetration, no actual sexual intercourse until I felt completely ready, until I felt completely comfortable. And so in a sense, I treated myself like a virgin again, where I was like, I'm going to do this when I'm ready. I draw the boundaries. And over the next, and it was 3.5 years before I had sex again. But I did do everything else, you know, so like lots of foreplay, oral and kissing and cuddling and fondling and all those wonderful, magical, magnificent things. But I did them on my own terms, and I was honest with the people I was doing it with as to my reasons and what my boundaries were. I just moved into a much deeper place of honesty. And that's not to say I didn't make a lot of mistakes. Still, I did. There was one occasion I specifically can think of where there was a woman who won't talk to me still today because of how complicated it got emotionally and how I still didn't have the tools to deal with it in a way that was humane, that was compassionate and kind. And it's one of the things I'm still sad about. I wrote a song about that too, but that's another time. Anyway, so through all of that, eventually I met a woman I wanted to sleep with again, and we slept together. It was amazing. It was still challenging in some ways because I still have some of my insecurities, but it was fantastic. It was on my terms. It was great. And my process has been this unfolding of empowering myself sexually and realizing I'm a vulnerable, delicate, gentle, curious human, and I don't know everything, and that's okay. And so really approaching it from a place of curiosity and a place of a desire to learn and a desire to experience pleasure and to bring pleasure to others. And that is the place that Lovers in the Morning Light came from, basically. That was when I wrote that song. It was really a celebration of the place that I had arrived at, or the place that I am now exploring and living in around my sex and sexuality, acknowledging that I still have my hangups, as we all do. Or at least I speak for myself. I don't know if you have hangups, but I have hangups still that I'm working on, and my sweetheart and I are working on. And I'm now in a long-term relationship, which I have been for just over 2 years. And it's amazing. It's amazing that we can have the sex that we have because of the place that she's in and the place that I'm in. And I couldn't do what we're doing now if I hadn't done this work. And so Lovers in the Morning Light really is about that. And I kind of dive into, you know, specifics around the lyrics, because I feel like that's important. The lyrics are important, right? So the song starts off with saying, "You lean in so soft, sun is rising again as we begin." And for me, it's this. Just one of my favorite things is morning sex, morning lovemaking. It's just, there's something so precious about it. You're still like half asleep, almost dreaming. There's just a delicacy there that I love. I have to say at this point that Lovers in the Morning Light was not written for my beloved, for Carly. I hadn't met her when I wrote it. And so she often gets asked at shows, and like if we're at a show and I play that song, people come and they go, "Oh, that must be about you. It's so sweet." She's like, "No, not about me. It's not about any one person. It's about my own experiences of coming into myself as an empowered sensual being, sexual man specifically, because that's what I am. And it's about all the women I've met, and definitely I live it, and I, you know, explore everything in this song with Carly, because she is my beloved. And so it would make sense that it would feel like it could be about her, because she's what I want in my life. And that's why I wrote the song. It's like this is what I desire from my partnership. Anyway, so yeah, the sunrise, beautiful time, very sensitive, delicate time, which has been a lovely experience for me to learn in my sexuality, is to explore gentleness. As it says in the second part of the verse, "We begin so slow, I don't ever want to leave, don't ever want to go." It's like that timeless moment where you're just there in it, having the experience. I would also love to know your thoughts on like what the song brought up for you before you hear me telling my meaning. Because my meaning isn't the only meaning that you have to get from the song. You can get whatever you feel and believe in and from the song. You know, that's completely awesome. So, yeah. And then so the chorus is obviously just lovers in the morning light. We're lovers in the morning light, which I love. I just love the image of that. It brings up such a, I don't know, such a wholesomeness to me. Then the second verse goes, light as each caress floats upon our skin, your name upon my breath, which is obviously just being completely present with the person. Every breath is a speaking, as a worshipping of the name of the beloved. The beloved is the person, is the divine. It's all like in one. There's no separation at this point between spiritual and physical. They are integrated. And I think lovemaking can remind us of that. You know every word, the ones I've never spoke, that no one's ever heard. And so this again is speaking about coming into my honesty, into my integrity, so that the people I'm with, if I'm with a lover, if I'm with my beloved, then she knows me. She knows the truth of who I am, of my strengths and my weaknesses, my vulnerabilities, my courage. And in a sense, when I say that no one's ever heard, it's like, these are the things that I used to hide. These are the things I used to think were secrets and I couldn't tell anyone about, you know. It's like, I get emotional even just talking about it, because it's an amazing place to be in, to be able to really express from a place of truth. And then the final verse, it says, wait, don't move. I feel almost everything delicate revealed. And again, this is the vulnerability. This is that absolute presence of like, geez, I feel so much, and it's scary sometimes, but here we are holding that together. Like, can we just be in that, be with that? Is it okay? Can we just not move for this moment, not go anywhere, not do anything, not have any goals in mind, just be here having this very intense and beautiful experience? And the final part, laying upon your breast, we speak in velvet tongues until at last we rest. So again, it's like, to me, I love speaking in velvet tongues. The idea of, it's slightly abstract. It's like, what does that mean exactly? And so to me, that's licking, kissing, sucking, nibbling, playing, talking, whispering, laughing, crying. We're speaking in the tongues of human emotion, the velvet tongues of human emotion, until at last we rest. And so, yeah, that is Lovers in the Morning Light. Definitely one of my truest songs. I feel like it was really just like came out of a place of just like, here is some of what is deepest and truest for me in my life and what I'm proud of to have come to and to be working on. I certainly have so many hangups, and I want you to know that as a person listening to this, I want you to know that I'm not a master of anything. I'm a student. And so I sing my songs from that place of a desire to learn and to connect us, not to make you feel like, oh my gosh, he's in a place that I can never be in, or look where he is, and putting me up above on a pedestal as people so often do with artists or with musicians or people we love. We put them onto pedestals, but please remember that I am 100% as human as you are, and my processes are as challenging, and I have as many fuck ups and things that I don't get right. So just know that. So really, I guess the song is just is this idea of moving from toxic masculinity, this idea of man as the performer and the giver of sex and the focused on his own pleasure, and actually quite weak and self-conscious and scared inside, because he thinks he has to be something. He has to be this strong, I am the man, I'm going to pound you into multiple orgasms, which is what we're shown in hardcore pornography or mainstream porn, which is, it's a performance, it's an act. And it's also, toxic masculinity is often only gains its power by suppressing others, by suppressing the feminine, by suppressing other men, rather than collaborating and elevating everyone together, holding space for that powerful growth that we can go through as humans together. And so moving from that toxicity into wholesome masculinity, wholesome humanness, which incorporates vulnerability and gentleness and compassion and curiosity and being questioning and all of those things that are so important. It's okay to be uncertain. It's okay to ask questions. It's okay to be vulnerable. These are strengths. They are not weaknesses. It's okay to cry. It's okay to be wounded. We are all wounded. It's okay to acknowledge all of this. And when we do that, we empower ourselves and the people we're with to really grow together. Yeah, so that's it. I hope that you've enjoyed that bit about Lovers in the Morning Light. I'm going to actually play the song again now. And this is, I'd love to hear your thoughts. This is the first sort of episode where I've used this format. And I'm interested to know if you think it works or not. But, you know, you've heard the song already once. And now I want you to hear it again with what I've just told you in mind. And stick around afterwards because I'll be sharing some books I recommend that you read and just some stuff that I'm generally interested in at the moment. Nothing like some unrelated things, but I'll be sharing some links to specific amazing things that I think would really benefit you or anyone who's on a sexual sensual exploration. So yeah, just stick around for that. And do check the show notes because everything I talk about will be linked in there. And it's the easiest way to kind of stay up to date and find out and relink to the stuff that I've talked about in the show. Yeah, so thank you and I'll see you in a bit. Enjoy Lovers in the Morning Light again.
Well,
I'm so curious to hear if you got anything more from the second listen after you've heard all my stories and everything in between. Please do let me know. Again, you can ask me questions directly in the comments on the show notes, natemaingard.com/podcast. My surname, just so you know, Maingard doesn't have any U in it. The place where people put a U, it's not there. MAINGARD. So natemaingard.com/podcast. I am going to be getting a new URL that'll be getting naked with Nate, or just naked with Nate, or something like that, dot something, and it'll make it easier for you lovely folk to find me and come and say hello. So yeah, one thing I really want to say before I say anything else is just a huge shout out and thank you to Spencer Handley. He is a just wonderful musician, and he and I collaborated on recording this song. He recorded all the instrumentation and the harmonies and everything in San Francisco, sent those to me, and I put the vocals over it, and then he mixed it all. And I mean, it just sounds, it's just like amazing. I love it. I wish that I could record music this well by myself at home, and I am teaching myself, so I'm getting closer. But yeah, he really rocked that. So thanks, Spence. So what I wanted to kind of finish off with is just some recommendations for ways you can educate yourself about sexuality, if that is something you'd like to do. So I specifically, there are just a few books. One of them is called The Multi-Orgasmic Man, which is by Mantak Chia, and it's just a really good book. It really helps as men to become accountable for our sexuality and to realize that it is a skill, and that there's stuff to be learned, and it's okay. And it's, yeah, there's also The Multi-Orgasmic Couple, which I haven't read yet, though I would like to with my sweetheart. Another interesting book is called Sex at Dawn, which just talks about the history of human relationships, as far as like, are we naturally monogamous? I don't think you have to be monogamous or polygamous or whatever. I don't think either of those is better than, I don't get to say whether any of those are better than any others, but I do think it's important that we start to ask these kind of questions of how are we relating with one another? Is it the best way that we can? All those kind of things. I don't think it's ever bad to be exploring those kind of questions. Another great book is by Daniel Reed. It's called The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity. I will link to all of these in the show notes. And I must say, this is something new I'm exploring, is that all the show notes, all the links to things that you can buy are to things on Amazon. And if you use those links and then buy those things on Amazon, I get it's an affiliate link, so I get some money, very small amount of money out of that, and you don't get charged any extra. So I'm just looking at other ways to bring income into my life, so that there's not so much pressure on my Patreon page, which is currently most of my income, and I want to like diversify basically. And I feel like this is a cool way, because it's stuff that I really care about, and you don't pay any extra, and so that's it. It just feels cool. In the show notes as well will be links to Brené Brown's talk on vulnerability, which is one of the best things I have ever seen on the internet. It is so important and just incredible to watch. So inspiring. Another talk which I found really just resonated with me, Cindy Gallup's talk on, it's called Make Love, Not Porn, which she gave quite a few years ago. And it just, yeah, she talks about the experience of sleeping with men who have been educated by pornography and what that feels like as an older woman. And so, yeah, I just found that really inspiring as well. You know, that's it. I would like to say again that my Patreon page will be in the show notes. That is a super cool one. You can, if you do become a patron, you get to read my daily journal on this 100-day project that I'm doing to make these podcasts. You get early access to any kind of stuff that I'm creating, any songs that I'm writing, any of the things that I'm putting out into the world. And more than that, you get to know that it exists thanks to your help. It can't exist without your help. And so your help is a huge part of that. Your support, your participation in the community of the online, of the natives, the natives tribe. So that's all from me for today. I'm just so excited to have your feedback. So please be sure to go and ask me the questions, comment, and let me know your thoughts. And I'll be back in a week with the next episode, so which will have some of your questions answered in it. So that's it. Thank you. I'm Nate Maingard. You are awesome. This has been Getting Naked with Nate. I hope that you got value out of it. I hope that you enjoyed it. It's been my great pleasure to share with you. And I'll speak with you again real soon. Bye.